Well, can I invite you to turn to the passage that we read from 1 Peter chapter 2. You may have heard the slightly amusing story of the famous Sherlock Holmes and his close friend, Dr. Watson, who were, on one particular occasion, they found themselves in a tent out camping. And they pitched their tent underneath the stars. It was a gloriously starry night, and they went to sleep. Sometime in the middle of the night, Sherlock Holmes woke up and he nudged his partner, Watson, and he said to him, "Watson, I want you to look up at the stars and tell me what you deduce." And Watson said, I'm looking up here and I see thousands, maybe millions of stars. And you know, it seems to me that even if some of those stars have a few planets around them, there's the possibility that there's bound to be life out there in space." And Holmes dug him in the ribs and said, "Watson, you idiot, somebody has stolen our tent." He wasn't meant to be able to see the stars. The tent had gone. It's one of those sort of silly stories. And it's one of those stories that reminds us that sometimes in life you see things, but you don't really see them. Or sometimes in life you look for things and you don't really see what you're trying to see. Somebody once said, and I think I've got it on the screen here, in any given situation, what you are will determine what you see. And what you see will determine what you do. And this evening, just for a little time before we have our cup of tea, as I said this morning, those of you who were here, I plan, God willing, over the next number of months in the mornings, to begin a series from the book of Joshua, the sixth book of the Bible. And in the evenings, God willing, I plan to do a series from the book of Revelation. So I do encourage you to plan to come out to those services, not so much to hear what I have to say, but to realize that through the ministry of the Word of God, that God speaks, sometimes surprisingly, and sometimes remarkably, but God does speak. But this evening, maybe following on a little bit from this morning, I want to think a little bit in light of the fact that we are now facing a new term. We are facing the winter's work. We are facing the new season. And hopefully that doesn't fill us too much with dread or with anguish, but with a sense, well, there's a work to be done. And by the grace of God, we will be able to do it. But here is what I want to say this evening, because I wonder what you see when you look into the winter's work. The scriptures say in Proverbs chapter 29 that where there is no vision, the people will perish. And that verse teaches the importance of being able to see, to have a spiritual vision for what lies ahead. Somebody once said, and I'm sure there's so much truth in it, that if you aim at nothing, you will probably succeed. If you aim at achieving nothing and doing nothing, and really you're just drifting, well, that's probably what will happen. So what do you need to see as to get you through this new term? I suspect that there will be some people, and the way that they'll get through this new term, not quite literally, but one of the little things that will give them a lift every week. Apparently, there's a new series of Paul Dark about to start. Some of you maybe have planned to watch it. And there's some people, and the truth of the matter is that that's what gets them through life. Some new series, some new television program, and it gives them a wee bit of a lift to get them through each week. But from a spiritual and biblical point of view, we need something much, much more than that. And this evening, I want you to think again about this little text, if you've got your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 is our text. And I want you to notice something very simple. It's one of those things you could almost miss it, but I want you to notice it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." And I want you to notice tonight that this text speaks, first of all, of what we are. And I want you to notice this evening that as a Christian believer, if you are a believer here tonight, I want you to think first and foremost of what you are. If you're a Christian here tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, if you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, this passage says you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a people belonging to God. That's what you are. You might not always feel like that, but that's what you are. And then it goes on to speak of what we do, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his light. And the principle that I want to remind you of again this evening, and I'm sure I have done this before and others have done it before me, is the principle of seeing what you are. And that comes before what you do. And the reason I'm saying this tonight is this, that so often at a particular time of the year, and maybe at the beginning of a church calendar year, all we think about is what we have to do. And there is an awful lot that maybe has to be done. And maybe it daunts us slightly. But first and foremost, from the Word of God, I want you to see what you are before what you do. Because when you see what you are in Christ, that will become an inspiration and a strength and a motivation for you to do what has to be done. You see, our Christian activity flows from what we are, not the other way around. It's the principle of being before doing. Being before doing. Let me put it this way. Have you ever thought about it this way? You are, first of all, a human being, not a human doing. And I stress this because this is not only a biblical principle, it is an inspirational principle. Are you here tonight needing a little bit of inspiration and motivation before you start out in the new term? Maybe the youth work that's about to begin, maybe some other organizational work, maybe something else, and you need a wee bit of encouragement and a wee bit of inspiration and a wee bit of help. Well, I believe tonight that from this text, you can find that. First of all, focus on what you are in Christ. Not what you are in yourself, of course, but what you are in Christ. And allow that to inspire you then to go out and to declare the praises of him who called you. Let me suggest tonight some of the things. We will see. One at a time, hopefully. Let me suggest to you a number of things that this will bring you. So what I'm doing here very simply and quite briefly tonight, folks, is saying, look, at the beginning of this new term, focus on who you are. As you think tonight of what you are in the Lord Jesus, you're part of his family, you've been saved by grace, you've been adopted into his family, you've been declared not guilty, all of those wonderful things. It will give you a fresh sense of dignity and value and identity. Even though by nature and by life we are flawed and sinful, in Christ you are loved and accepted. And I have, and I know I've said this many times, and I don't apologize for saying it again. It was Martin Luther who often used to say to himself, and often used to say to other people, and encourage them that every new day they should remind themselves, I am a child of God. I am accepted in Jesus. And Martin Luther, and next year, God willing, will mark the 500th anniversary of him nailing his theses to the church door. Martin Luther was a man who knew many problems and many pressures and many stresses and strains. And that was one of the things that got him through. I'm a Christian. I'm accepted in Jesus. The other thing that we can notice here is the joy that will come from this. Let me quote to you something that a pastor said, a pastor from another country. He said this. He said, I have observed that when I am most discouraged and I'm finding my pastoral work more dreary than joyful, a gradual and dangerous shift has taken place in my thinking about myself. I forget that I am a Christian who has found in Jesus Christ a resting place. See, what had happened in that man's life, he had got taken up with all that he had to do, and it had become almost a drudgery to him, and he needed to be reminded of what he was in Jesus Christ. You see, the doing had taken over from the being. Do you see how that can happen? Let me try and earth it. Like, it can happen for anyone. Think of any aspect of church life, and somebody is slogging along and they're trying to do this, and as the years go by, they've become weary in well doing. And all that they focus on is what has to be done. And what has happened is that they have lost the joy of the Lord. And that can happen so easily. Can happen so frequently. And when that happens, we need to step back and we need to go back to the Word of God, and we need to go back to a passage like 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2 and verse 9 and be reminded of what we are. You're a Christian. Your sins have been forgiven. You're on the way to glory. You're part of the family of God. You're saved. You're redeemed. You're delivered from not only your sin, but the consequences of your sin. Focus on that and ask the Lord to give you a sense of the wonder of that. And then the wonder of being able to share that with other people. And it will put a fresh joy into your life. So maybe for someone here tonight, that's what you need to hear. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe you have become weary in well-doing. But this principle will also give you a sense of security. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt a bit of a failure? Or you maybe feel a bit down because you haven't dealt with something the way that you ought to? Or your sense of security is all bound up in what other people may think of you? Well, here's the good news. Your acceptance, my acceptance in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, doesn't depend on our performance or even what other people think of us. That can be a liberating thing. Some people go through life crippled because they're worried about what someone else thinks about them. Or they maybe feel that they have botched up in some situation and they have performed badly. But folks, your security and my security in Jesus is not bound up in how we do or our performance or what somebody thinks of us. Your security, my security in Christ is bound up in what he thinks of you. And he thinks an awful lot of you. He loves you far more than you even realize. And maybe related to this, here's another principle that it will give you. It will give you strength and power. I came across this. A Christian leader said this. This way of viewing life and ministry, far from making me lazy or careless about work, he was speaking about resting and his being accepted in Jesus. He said, well, it will enable me to work well because I will be living well. My life will be bound up in Jesus. I will be content to derive my praise and my power from him. So tonight, what am I saying? I'm simply trying to say, based on 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, see what you are. Remind yourself what you are in Christ. A sinner saved by grace, a sinner adopted into the family of God, a sinner accepted in Jesus. And allow that to infiltrate your soul again. And allow that to be an inspiration to then send you out to do the work that has to be done. And there's much that has to be done. Maybe in Sunday school, your fellowship, BB, GB, Mums and Toddlers, PW, Youth Club, Music, Choir, Praise Group, Life Builders, serving on the committee, serving as an elder, the technical side, the whole practical side, in the building, the whole attempt to reach out with the good news of the gospel. There is so much to do. But tonight I'm simply saying, get yourself right in your own heart by the grace of God. And if you're a believer and if you are involved in some of these things, take it from this principle in the Word of God that you'll only serve well when you live in Christ well. If you're struggling in your walk with the Lord, you will struggle in your seeking to serve the Lord. And so I say, keep your walk with the Lord. We were talking this morning about seeking to be more like Jesus. Seeking to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only coming to Christ, but following Christ. Taking a decision right now at the beginning of this new term that we will not just do, as it were, the church lap for another year. That we will actually intentionally, each day and each week, build something into our lives that will enable us to go on with Jesus, to really follow him. So keep your walk with the Lord. Use your God-given talents. Every Christian here tonight has a talent. Did you know that? I hope that you know that. Some of you have more than one talent. But you all have a talent. And I say to you tonight, as I try and draw this to a close, as your minister and your pastor, if you are a Christian, do not bury your talents. Don't bury them. You'll remember the story that Jesus told about the man who buried his talents. He didn't get much commendation. But those who used their talents were the ones who were commended by the Lord Jesus. And so tonight I say to you and I appeal to you, use your talents. Get involved in and through this local church. Make a resolution at the beginning of this new season to be regular. I'm literally preaching to the converted here, I think. I should be preaching to those who aren't here. To be regular at worship, morning and evening. To make a genuine effort to come to the midweek fellowship. To make an effort to come to the prayer times. And not just to leave it to the same few people who do come. Invite people to church. Don't be reluctant if you have a friend or a neighbor and you know that they don't go anywhere on a Sunday. Invite them to church. Why would you not? Assure them that they will be made very welcome. Bring them along. As somebody once said, I know I've quoted this before, there are two types, if you like, of church. One type of church basically exists with the feeling, well, we are here so that our own spiritual needs will be met. And the other kind of church exists to see what impact they can make upon their local community. I hope that we will be a church that will not only say, yes, we come here on the Lord's Day to be helped and encouraged in the Lord, yes, of course, but also, how can we reach those who are not here? And folks, you all have connections that I do not have. And I cannot possibly, as the minister, make connections with everybody. But together, we can touch people and invite people in our families, in our wider church families who maybe aren't going anywhere, to come to church and to be part of this fellowship in the Lord, that the Lord would bless us. So tonight, what have I been seeking simply to say from this text? A very simple principle, and that is, focus on what you are in Jesus, a sinner saved by grace. And take time to dwell on that, to meditate upon that, and to ask the Holy Spirit to make that so live within your soul that it will overflow, and then you will be able to do nothing other but than to go out and to say, right, I'm ready for the new term. I'm ready for the new session of work, so that I might be able to share with those young people or share with whatever group it is something of the wonder of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you get taken up just with the doing, you'll lose your joy. You'll lose the focus. But if you're taken up, first of all, with what you are, you will be blessed, and you will then be inspired to serve. May God help us in these things. A short prayer before we sing. Father, teach us this simple principle at the beginning of this new term. Lord, remind us of what we are. Sinners saved by grace. And Lord, fill us with a joy and a wonder and a marvel and a sense of being amazed at what you've done for us, that we will not be able to do anything other but say, I have to get involved and to serve the Lord through this winter season. So Lord, come and touch us by your Holy Spirit and lead us in your way. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.